Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Arya Helwani, back with another edition of the Wednesday Helwani Show. And as always, we've got a fun lineup for all of you, an eclectic mix of MMA characters. But first, let me once again tell you one more time about the fantastic three-part podcast series done by the great, the inimitable, the often imitated, never duplicated Adrian Wojnarowski, a.k.a. Woj. If you're going for a long car ride to see your family this Thanksgiving, first of all, be safe. Second of all, I recommend you switch on the Woj Pod after you listen to this show, of course, to check out the Giannis Draft. It's all about the discovery of two-time NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's a great listen. I can't recommend it enough. If you want to check it out, you can find it wherever you get your podcast. All right, on to today's program, which definitely contains language that may not be suitable for some audiences. So, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Wednesday, November 25th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of the Helwani Show, a pre-Thanksgiving edition of the program. I hope you're all doing well if you're celebrating Thanksgiving this week. I know it's a different one. I know it might be a difficult one, a lonely one, but I hope you're all keeping the faith, staying positive, staying healthy. And you know what? Later in this program, I'll share with you a few things that I'm thankful for in the world of MMA and perhaps in my life as well. We'll see. For now, though, let us focus on today's program. We have a eclectic mix of characters on today's show. A lot going on, as always, in the world of MMA. Big fight this weekend. Usually the UFC is pretty quiet on Thanksgiving weekend, but not this year. This year, they're doing a show pretty much every single weekend, and this weekend's main event is Derek Lewis versus Curtis Blaydes. Main event, big fight, important fight in the heavyweight division. Two big boys fighting at the apex in the smaller cage. High stakes involved. And also, by the way, Saturday, the big boxing match that everyone's talking about and maybe a little confused about. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. That's happening on pay-per-view. So if you have nothing to do this weekend, you certainly have a lot to watch as far as combat sports are concerned on Saturday night. So we are coming off UFC 255 on Monday's DC and Helwani program. We talked a lot about Davison Figueiredo, and we talked about his big win, and we talked about him taking a fight on 3 weeks' notice to headline UFC 256 against Brandon Moreno. And I've never talked to Brandon Moreno before on this program, so today on the show, we shall talk to the assassin baby himself, learn about his backstory. He's got a great backstory. He's been through a lot, and now he's fighting for the flyweight title in 2.5 weeks. It's an incredible story. He was victorious on Saturday as well against Brandon Royval. So we'll talk about Brandon Moreno fighting for the belt. I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk to AJ McKee, who pulled off one of the best submissions of the year last Thursday against Darian Caldwell, and talk to him about his amazing backstory. And of course, fighting in the main event of the Bellator Featherweight Grand Prix, the finals, I should say, against either the winner of the Patricio Pitbull versus Emmanuel Sanchez fight, which should happen in the early portion of 2021. He's undefeated. He's 17-0. He is a rising star. You need to know about AJ McKee because he is that darn good. We'll also talk to Kayla Harrison, who made her Invicta and Featherweight debut on Friday. She is a two-time Olympic gold medalist in judo, the only American to win two Olympic gold medals in judo. So that's a very notable feat. She has crossed over to MMA. She is a powerhouse. She has fought for PFL, and she was their 155-pound champion. A lot of people have wanted her to go down to 145. She was frustrated. She couldn't get a fight this year because PFL went on hiatus. She gets a fight with Invicta. She fights at 145 for the first time in her MMA career. First time she weighed 145 since she was 16 years old, she tells me. And she was victorious and very dominant. And so I wanted to talk to her about her future at 145, potentially fighting her teammate Amanda Nunes, her future with PFL, all that and more. So we'll hear from Kayla Harrison later on in the program. But first, let us talk to Aljamain Sterling, a.k.a. the Funkmaster. He was supposed to headline UFC 256. You know, 256 has been snakebitten with all kinds of bad luck. It was supposed to be Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns. Usman pulled out. It was supposed to be Amanda Nunes versus Megan Anderson. Amanda Nunes pulled out. Then it was supposed to be Piotr Jan versus Aljamain Sterling. We found out over the weekend that Piotr Jan is out of the fight. Now, I was told personal reasons. Then he said visa. Sterling's team told me injury. Confusing stuff. And unfortunately for Aljamain Sterling, who has never fought for a UFC title before, he has to wait a little longer. He was 2.5 weeks away from fighting for the belt finally after this long fall slash summer where he was kind of in limbo and the UFC didn't want to give him the title. It was a bizarre turn of events. And in the end, he got the fight after Marlon Moraes lost to Corey Sandhagen, and he was oh so close to finally fighting for the belt. And then Jan pulls out. So we spoke to Aljamain about his reaction to the news, when they might fight again, all that and more. And so we shall kick things off with the one and only Funkmaster. Enjoy. All right, let's kick things off today with the number one contender in the UFC's bantamweight division, the man who was supposed to fight for the belt on December 12th against Piotr Jan. We'll find out what the status of that fight is. For now, though, let us say hello to the Funkmaster himself, Aljamain Sterling, joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Aljo, how are you?
Pretty good. Feeling jacked, feeling strong, but you know, I got to wait a little bit so I can put these muscles to use, put the gun show to use.
Yes, I see the gun show. Very impressive. You're looking to be in great shape. Okay, so we find out late Saturday that they're adding Davison Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno to this December 12th card. And, you know, that card has taken some hits. Usman and Burns fell off. Nunes, Megan Anderson fell off. Okay, so we said, all right, there's now going to be two title fights, you and Jan, and then, of course, the flyweights. And then an hour or so later, we find out that the bantamweight title fight involving you is off. What was your reaction when you found out that this fight that was so close to happening after all these years that you've been in the sport, all the fights, all the campaigning, everything you've got to do to get to this point was now not happening?
I woke up with my phone it was blown up, and I didn't know what was going on. I was like, you know, I'm reading everything. I'm like, nah, this gotta be fake news. It's definitely fake news. And I call my manager, find out that there was definitely some holdup going on, and we're trying to see if things would work out, but they ended up not. So it sucked. Definitely sucked. You know, I've been waiting for this moment, and man, I was starting to peak at a really good time 3 weeks out, and we hit a roadblock again. It just feels like every time this something's meant to be for me, it just kind of gets pulled back. But, you know, I'm just trying to stay positive about it. I kind of starting to feel like Tony Ferguson a little bit. I'm not going to lie. The Ferguson-Khabib fight not happening, it kind of feels like that. And I just hope eventually it does come to fruition, and we need this for the division. And I think it will. I just don't want to get to that point where it's like we're right there, it gets something happens, we're right there, something happens, we're right there, something happens. And hopefully February, March, we can actually get in there and lock it up.
So here we are just a couple of days removed from it becoming a reality. Like, are you devastated? Are you deflated? Are you down? How are you processing this, considering how close you were to the fight actually happening?
I was a little sad, a little bit, but you can't really hang your head for too long. You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Being upset, being heartbroken about it, it's not going to change anything. It definitely sucked, but, you know, the show must go on. And, you know, they got some other fights to fill in for it. I just got to pull back the training and get ready to go in a couple of weeks. It's going to be about another 3 months. So that part does suck. It's another 3 months, because I could have honestly been getting ready for my first title defense in 3 months. You know, so that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. We could have gotten it done, and then I had some downtime, and then I could have been getting ready, getting geared up for another title shot or title defense, I should say.
So have they told you when they're targeting this now?
February, March. I would imagine one of those pay-per-view cards, but they didn't say which one is going to be yet. I'm going to imagine it's probably depending on Pedion and his team. You know, the weird thing about it is I remember, because I stalk my opponents on Instagram and stuff, and I remember him posting something to story, I think it was, and saying, like, they were getting the visa stuff in order, and it seemed like everything was a go. So I was pretty confident that the fight was going to happen, and then this happened, and I was hearing it was an injury, personal issues, and then I'm hearing about the visa, and I'm like, I'm just so confused because I saw that, and then I hear this, and I don't know if it was like his teammates or his coaches or something, maybe. You would think that you're the champ that, you know, they would have made sure that this was well taken care of. So at the end of the day, it's out of my hands. I've just got to just get ready for the fight in February or March.
That was actually my next question. Have the UFC told you or your management, like, what the official reason for his withdrawal is?
They said injuries. That's what I was told. I was told injuries. But
wow.
I saw an interview this morning that Pedion did, and the translation said there were some visa issues. They were booking flights and everything. There were some troubles, and his team and I, he said, my team and I decided it was best to push the fight back to 2021. I'm like, it must be nice to be the champ and be able to just push an entire event like that. Not the entire event, but obviously, the title fight. And yeah, to just be able to just do that. I'm like, I don't know. You know, if it was me and I had a situation like that, it would be kind of like a take it or leave it. You know, this is an opportunity. If you want the opportunity, you got to take the fight. You know, so that part kind of sucks because, you know, I don't have that type of pull right now. And it's not like I'm looking to do that. You know, if I set a date, I'm going to show up for that date. That's just the way it is. And unless I can't walk or I can't make it to the octagon, that type of thing. But it must have been a big enough issue that they couldn't make it to the fight. So,
yeah, the injury thing is interesting because I was specifically told not an injury, personal reasons. And then I saw the same article as you. So,
yeah,
that would confuse me if I were in your shoes. And so hopefully they can do it in February, March. And I'm wondering, you know, you, like, Sunday morning, you posted a tweet to him, and no secret that you guys haven't seen eye to eye and you've gone back and forth on social media, but the tweet was very classy and no bad blood. You didn't take a shot at him. Was that a hard thing to do?
Nah, you know what, man? I don't hate anybody that I fight, and I have respect for anybody that gets in there. And I think that's the main thing about me. I don't take any of these Twitter wars or beef to heart. I know people are saying, like, Jan's living in your head rent-free and stupid shit. People just say stupid shit. I'm like, if you've known anything about me or you followed my career, you know I talk shit all the time. This is just part of the game for me. It's fun in games. I enjoy this part. And I think it's more exciting when two opponents talk a little shit. They talk a little trash. You build a fight up. You make it more than just two guys fighting. You know, you give people a reason to care, get them excited to want to watch you guys fight. And I think we're just two competitors. He likes to talk a little bit. I like to talk a little bit too. And, you know, I was hoping it wasn't a serious injury because I would like to fight him. I don't want to interim fight. I don't want to interim fight. I want to fight the champ so we can get some clarity in this division and figure out who the hell is the best guy in this division for once and for all. And then we can finally keep things moving. I think he had an easy path to the title. He did his job. The UFC put guys in front of him. He knocked them down. I did the same thing, but I think I fought stiffer competition, you know? So I think I'm the uncrowned king, you know? And I just wanted my opportunity to prove it. That's really it. So I am a little confused by everything, but I think he's a man. He's not one of those guys who's like, he's going to fight who they put in front of him. So I'm the next guy in front of him. He's going to show up. So I'm not worried about that, where some guys in the past I had to wonder if they were going to actually make it to the fight. So like I said, Giannis, he's a man's man, you know, he's a fighter, and he's going to show up on the night. So I'm just excited for the opportunity. I just can't wait to finally just figure this shit out.
And by the way, and I don't think you should do this, I'm not advocating for it, but just curious, because that December 12th card is a little thin, did they ask you if you wanted to stay and fight someone else?
No, they never did. I was actually surprised. But the only person that they could have been would have been Sanhagen. And that would have been the only person, logically. But we just fought. So because we just fought, I think that's why they didn't offer that. So that's the way I'm thinking about it. If, you know, if maybe we didn't fight, they could probably potentially put that on the table. But fight's already done, you know, so I fought about everybody in this whole division. In the top 10, top 15, I fought just about everybody. So if I didn't fight them, they're my training partners, you know? So it's I think this is the fight that needs to happen. We need to get some clarity in this division and move things forward. So this is the one this is the big one. I think a lot of people are excited about this one because Pedion, this bookie man, they think he's going to knock me out, or they think I'm going to run through him. So we got to figure it out. We got to figure this out.
Now, Aljo, we haven't talked in a minute, but I got to be honest with you. I've talked about you a lot on all my shows and all this stuff leading up to this interview and this fight, because, and I hope you can provide some clarity for me on this. Why in the world did it take so long for them to finalize this fight? Why were we going through this whole song and dance? Oh, maybe he's next. And even it seemed to me like they were waiting to see what happened with Marlon Moraes and Corey Sandhagen. And even if Marlon won that fight, you might have gotten leapfrog. Why did it take so long to make the obvious choice, which was to book you versus Petr Yan?
That's a question for Dana White, to be honest. I don't know if it's because they just didn't like the way I lost to Marlon, or they think maybe if I win the belt, I could be a pain in the ass. But honestly, I just want to fight and make fucking money. I don't see what the issue is with that. They have me as a champion. I'm going to be an active champion. I'm going to be a champion that's outspoken. I'm going to be a champion that's doing the right things. I don't think you could get a better champion in terms of what I bring to the table. I do charities. I do all these things. I work with kids. What else could you ask for? You know, so I don't know what their angle is. Maybe it's better for them if they have Yan as a champ, as a Russian ambassador, maybe. I couldn't tell you what it was. I really couldn't. I hate to get into conspiracies and, oh, they don't like me, but I don't think the UFC is in the business of not liking people. I think you could be a pain in the ass, and they're going to do what they're going to do to try to make your road a little bit more difficult. But I think I should have been given the fight a long time ago, and not even just this situation, even when I fought Pedro Munhoz. You know, I thought after that, him knocking out Cody Garbrandt, I thought that would have solidified my redemption after losing to Marlon Moraes and becoming the new number one contender. So, especially after Marlon just fought for the belt, you know. So, I don't know. I can't do the homework for the UFC. They obviously know what they're doing. They've run a great promotion in terms of putting on a great event, knowing what the people want. I don't know if there's maybe something I don't know. Maybe that this isn't a fight that they didn't think would sell. I honestly really don't know. I want to say, make it easy and say, give you something good and be like, hey, they hate me. But I really don't know. So I can't make up any story. I don't know. It just took them a while, and we're finally here. And hopefully we can make this fight happen. I can make some goddamn championship money, win the belt, be the first Jamaican American champion, and I can just take over the world, Ariel. Yes. Take over the world.
But one last thing on that. Can I ask, like, were you getting frustrated? I was getting frustrated for you. I can't imagine how you were feeling when it was just taking so long. I mean, it was taking 4 months for them to actually, you know, put this out there. Were you kind of internally getting frustrated?
I was. And it got to a point where I had to just stop caring, because it was like, you're going to drive yourself nuts, keep thinking about this and trying to figure out what you need to do. I even got to the point where I was like, do I need to, like, come up with a brand new gimmick and start doing more ridiculous things to get attention? Hey, look at me, I'm the dancing monkey. Like, you know, that's what I felt like. I was a guy in the mouse in the wheel, just all these things to get a little bit of attention and some traction, you know. So I'm glad I didn't have to go too crazy and still kind of be true to myself. And, you know, like I said, I talk shit. It is what it is. And I think that's pretty natural for me. You know, I don't go too crazy over the top. I'm not Henry Cejudo. I'm not Kobe Covington. I'm not any of those guys. I'm not trying to be a Conor McGregor. I'm trying to be Aljamain Sterling. And I think the people love that about me. And finally got the fight 4 months later, but we got the fight. We were right there, 3 weeks away. And just another roadblock as life happens. And just get back on the horse, take care of my body, make sure I'm doing good, because I can't keep revving the engine and ready to go the entire time. So I got to pull back a little bit and then jumpstart the training camp again and get ready to go for February or March.
How difficult is that? Like, you talk about not peaking too early now and having to take your foot off the gas when you're that close and that kind of shape that you just showed us. And I've seen your Instagram and whatnot. I mean, how difficult is it to now say, oh, okay, 2 more months and take your foot off the gas?
That part is a little more difficult because it's a little bit of a science. You got to make sure you're doing the right thing. And good thing at the UFCPI, I could kind of bounce some ideas and let them know how I'm feeling, and they could let me know what's too much, what's too little, and kind of give me that right balance to kind of stick within those guidelines. I can taper back from sparring. I don't got to get punched in the head for 5 rounds again, which is nice because, you know, obviously 5 rounds compared to 3 rounds, I don't take a lot of damage in fights and in sparring, but it is a lot of concussive blows every week, twice a week. So for me to dial that back and kind of just let the brain recover a little bit, I think that's going to pay dividends and helping me take some shots better. Because Petey Allen is going to hit me. He's going to hit me fucking hard. And I got to make sure that I can roll those punches and be able to have those shock absorbers in my neck ready to go so that I can push through. And eventually, once I take him down, you know, it's going to be a short night for him. But, yeah, it's a science. You got to just make sure you're doing the right balance. You don't want to be lazy and slacking off and not getting the work done. But at the same time, you don't want to be in that red line every single day. You got to make sure you're pulling back. Otherwise, you're going to get some diminishing returns in your training sessions. And that's just kind of where we're at right now. So I just finished up some work today and I got another training session tonight. And I didn't do anything Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, chilled out. So 4 days off and I'm going to get some work in tonight. And my body feels amazing right now. So it's good to know when to just dial it back a little bit.
All right. Well, I'm sorry this happened. I'm sorry we're not going to see you fight in 3 weeks. What a great fight it is on paper. But hopefully, like you said, February, March, we can see it happen. So appreciate the time. Thank you for talking about this, Aljamain, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. Going to get home, get some food, and get ready to do my own podcast, Ariel, the Week of Scrap.
That's right. Everyone check that out. Thank you, Aljamain.
Thanks. Peace.
What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, meeting-free Fridays. Well, what about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch at your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-order stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autograph apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/DCRC. All lowercase, go to shopify.com/DCRC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/DCRC.
Now let us talk to the man who will be fighting on December 12th for the flyweight title, UFC 256, a man who we just saw this past Saturday at the UFC Apex defeating Brandon Royval in the feature prelim fight. A couple hours later, we find out he's going to turn around in 3 weeks and fight for the belt. It's the quickest turnaround for a champion and challenger in UFC title history. It's going down on December 12th in Vegas. It's the one and only Brandon, the assassin baby, Moreno. Kind enough to join us. Brandon, how are you?
Yeah, man. Fine, amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks for the space.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's great to talk to you. So I want to start here, Brandon. You fight on Saturday against Brandon Royval. Great win, great performance, and we shall talk about it. That happened at around 6:45 p.m. Pacific time, 6:45 p.m. in Las Vegas. Then 3 or so hours later, the flyweight title is on the line. Davison Figueiredo defeats Alex Perez. And that's at around, top of my head, let's say 10:15 p.m. Pacific time. Less than 2 hours after that, the news is out there that you're fighting Davison for the title. So let me ask you, what happened? Can you take us inside what exactly happened behind the scenes? How did they approach you and how quickly did they get this done?
I mean, that's why I say it's like almost magical. You know, because I finished the fight, I went to get some interviews. I went to the media room, After that, we went to the hotel. Our team and I grabbed all our stuff, and then we went to the house of my manager. Then I was eating when I watched and I saw the fight. Like 15 minutes after the fight, Jason House, my manager, comes with me with his cell phone, and he say, "Hey, I have a big man on the phone. He wanna ask you if you are ready to fight in December 12th. I mean, obviously, it was like weird, you know, for me, because I make the account with my fingers, and like, hey man, it's three weeks from here. I mean, I can think just a little bit. Can I get some at least 3 minutes to thinking about it? About it? I talked with my head coach, and he say, man, you don't have injuries. You are ready. Let's go. It's the opportunity of your life. And here I am. You know? I'm ready.
So I would imagine you were excited. And I know that you wanted to be fighting for the title this past Saturday. But also, like you said, it's in 3 weeks. So do you have mixed feelings? Like, would you have preferred your first UFC title fight to come with a full training camp?
Man, obviously, I prefer a complete training camp, you know? Figueiredo is a really, really tough opponent. He's the flyweight champion right now. And in his last fight, he looks amazing and really, really evolved in every single of his matchups. So that I prefer a real training camp, but it is what it is. And again, I don't have any injuries, serious injuries from this fight against Brandon Royval. I'm ready. I'm ready even before the fight with Royval. So we have the same situation. I mean, Figueiredo fought the same card like me, so it's the same for us.
It's interesting because the first episode of UFC Embedded that came out leading up to UFC 255, you're featured on it and you were very excited about that. You're at your manager, Jason House's house, and you're talking about the cookies and everything. And you were saying how it was hard for you not to eat the cookies. But then he said after the fight, you can have all the cookies you want. You can have any meal you want. But now you're about to fight for the belt in, you know, less than 3 weeks. So are you even able to, you know, have a day or so where you can have a cheat meal and go crazy?
Man, Saturday I ate very badly, you know, like a burger from Shake Shack, some tacos, but comes next day and start again with the diet, you know. I'm light right now. I'm like 140, so it's not too bad. It's actually it's perfect. And my last cut weight in this moment I was in like 145, so right now I have 5 pounds less. So I'm amazing. The weight is not a problem for me.
Okay. Obviously, you're the challenger. You have to take the opportunity when it's presented to you. Are you surprised that he's turning around so quickly, that he's not going home, he's staying in Las Vegas, and that he's doing this so fast? Were you surprised when you heard that he was in?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I don't have too much respect for Figueiredo, you know. Other champs, you know, never defend his title, never try to make a statement in his own division, and Figueiredo take the fight with just 3 weeks for try to be prepared and try to make weight again. So I have too much respect for him.
So you have respect for him. I'm wondering if you're impressed by him, because what he's been doing, especially this year, you know, beating guys like Benavidez, beating Alex Perez, the way in which he's doing it, drawing attention to the flyweights, his fighting style, his strength, his look, everything. Do you think that this guy is as special as everyone is saying that he is, or do you think he's a lot of hype? What do you think?
No, he's special, you know? I mean, I know I can be this guy, you know? I'm the real contender of this division, you know? I don't know why UFC take Alex Perez for the title fight first than me, but now I have the opportunity to shock the world, you know? I know he's special. I know he's powerful. He's explosive, blah, blah, blah. But, man, we'll see the fight, you know? Every single people around the world, I will say something about my fight, you know? For example, about Askarov, they say something like, he's amazing. Brandon Moreno will be choked out from all the world. And then Kai Kara Frank, amazing striking. Formiga, amazing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But I won every single of those fights. So we'll see what happened in December 12th.
I don't want to revisit the whole Cody Garbrandt getting a title shot and then picking Alex Perez over you, because it's now old news. But one thing that I did want to ask you about that you didn't really address in the buildup, because it was clear you were upset that they chose Garbrandt over you. And then, of course, you're scheduled to fight Alex Perez. And then they chose Perez over you, which kind of blew my mind, if I'm being honest. But here's the one part that hasn't been talked about. Both you and Alex Perez are represented by the same manager, Jason House. And so you say that you don't understand why they picked him over you. Surely you know the guy who cut the deal. So did you have a discussion with him? Like, hey, why did they pick your other client over me? Why didn't they go with me? I was the guy with the more impressive wins. I mean, you have the insight there, right? I mean, he represents both of you.
Yes. I mean, I was very mad in that moment with everybody. You know, I'm very serious, and I never tried to make some, you know, post in Instagram or something like that. But I was very mad. I was very confused and talked with Jason, you know, and he said the company took the decision to take Alex Perez for the title shot. I even right now, I can't understand what happened in that night when, I don't know, Mick Maynard and Dana White talks about the next flyweight title fight. But, you know, Jason House make everything perfect with me since I'm start to work with him. So I have all my confidence with him right now. So was, and I'm ready right now.
Okay. When you were initially released by the UFC in, I believe, 2018, if I would have told that guy, 2 years later, 2.5 years later, you'd be fighting for a UFC title, would you have believed me?
Man, I always was the goal, you know? I mean, obviously, if you talk it with me in that moment, I was very sad and say something like, man, just shut up. Don't please me, please. But, so, you know, sometimes I don't want to even wake up and get up to the bed to go training, but I just wake up, get up to the bed, and went to the gym and get some amazing training. And that's why I'm here now, you know, because I'm very persistent. I'm very disciplined. And it is what it is in the life, not just in the martial arts. I mean, it's in the life, I think so.
So when you were released, did they tell you you were released because they were getting rid of the flyweight division, or is it because of your performances or another reason?
No, they say about, you know, about the division. It was very easy for them to cut my head because I lost 2 fights in a row. Mm-hmm. So that combination was very bad for me.
Did you consider walking away from the sport after that?
No, not to be honest. I mean, I was very disappointed of my performance, of my life in that moment. But after UFC released me, I tried to get some opportunities in other companies, but then I meet Jason, my manager, and he makes an amazing work with me, you know, get the fight in LFA for the championship. I won that fight, and then I go back to the UFC.
Right. You have 2 or 3 children?
3.
3
the
now.
The last one born in September, yeah.
Wow, congratulations. 3 girls?
Thank you. 3 girls, exactly.
3 girls, amazing.
6, 2, and 1.5 months.
When you were out of the UFC, I saw an interview with you and you said that you were very down because of the fact that you were no longer in the UFC, but also did something happen to your daughter where you needed money from your parents for doctor's bills and things like that? What happened?
My daughter had like a problem in his stomach. So she needed like a surgery. Wow. She needed a surgery. And in that moment, I don't have money, you know? And then my parents give me some money for the surgery, you know. My second daughter born, UFC released me. You know, a lot of bad things in my life in that in that moment.
Wow, is your daughter okay now?
Yeah, she's amazing. She's so happy and she's crazy right now.
Great. And so it just, you know, the reason I wanted you to go over this with us and explain some of these things is because I think it makes the moment that much bigger, because here you are on 3 weeks' notice getting a title fight. You've been through so much, so many ups and downs. And in now less than 3 weeks, you're about to fight for the belt. Is it hard to like comprehend? Like, is it almost surreal for you that this is happening after everything that you've been through?
Man, completely surreal. I mean, this life is a kind of crazy roller coaster from Six Flags. I don't know. I try to watch behind my shoulders and watch all this crazy journey of my life. I mean, I sometimes can't even believe it all my life. But you know what? I deserve this. I know I deserve it. Sometimes a lot of people put less attention in his own discipline, in his own persistence. But man, I know I deserve this moment in my life.
On Tuesday, they came out with the poster, right? The UFC put it out there of you and him together. Well, I mean, that must have been, I saw you posting it on your Instagram too. That must have been, you know, you're standing next to the champ. In 3 weeks, you could be the champ. That must have been a cool moment, right?
Man, the moment of my life, you know? Again, I will win that title. And after that, I need new targets, new goals. But I've been working on that in almost 10 years. So it's amazing.
Have you allowed yourself over the last couple of days to think about what it will feel like when Dana White puts the belt around your waist and your life has changed forever as UFC champion? Do you let yourself think about that?
Yeah, man, I love it. I always try to watch that moment in my mind. You know, always I try to be focused in that moment. You know, stay always ready for that moment. Care the bell on my waist. Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, he's looked really good as of late. In your opinion, what's the key to beating Davison Figueroa?
I mean, I know he's powerful. I know he has power in his right hand. His Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is amazing. I need to be very explosive. I need to be very fast. I need to put some respect in the fight because I think his last opponents be very careful about his abilities. You know, obviously I need to be very careful of Figueroa because he is really dangerous, but I don't want to respect him too much in the fight. You know, I need to show I can bring a really good show in that fight. So I need to be fast. I need to be explosive. I need to show some respect. But I think the most important thing is put my Mexican heart in that fight.
Yes. And there's a great history of Mexican fighters and the heart that you guys possess. Just curious, he has a fun, you know, persona and look. Do you feel like he's too cocky? What do you make of him with the glasses and the hair and the shirt and everything?
Man, no. I think he's trying to sell tickets for the bus.
Yeah.
And it's fine, you know. He's trying to be a trash talker. It's crazy. I don't like too much that kind of attitude, but it is what it is. For me, it's never personal. For me, is I need to get that belt, not for beat Figueroa. I need to get that belt to change the life of my family. And that's it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, now let's turn our attention to Kayla Harrison. Like I said, two-time Olympic gold medalist, rising star in the sport, one of the best female fighters already on the planet, undefeated going into Friday's fight in Invicta. She gets a chance to fight for Invicta after, you know, all this drama with PFL. PFL says we're not putting on events in 2020 due to the pandemic. She wanted to be active. She was frustrated, cuts a deal with Invicta to fight for them while still repping PFL, but it's at 145. She's never fought at 145 before. She's very much against cutting weight. And so she takes this fight. People are wondering, would she make the weight? She makes the weight. And now all of a sudden, considering how she made the weight, considering how good she looked in that fight, which she won on Friday against Courtney King, all kinds of talk about her going to the UFC after her PFL is done in 2021 and maybe setting up a big time fight against her teammate, Amanda Nunes. Now, Kayla's very smart. She's a very smart businesswoman. And I tried to press her on the situation with PFL and the contract and the state of the relationship and all that stuff. And it's one of those conversations where body language speaks louder than answers, if you get what I'm saying. So if you go to the ESPN MMA YouTube channel, that portion of the conversation, the entire conversation with Kayla is up there. But we'll pick things up where we start talking about the weight cut and a potential move to the UFC and Amanda Nunes and all that stuff, because that's very interesting as well. So here's a portion of my conversation with Kayla Harrison, who is definitely, if you don't know her, a name to watch, a name to look out for. And if you missed her fight on Friday, go check it out as well, because that was as dominant and bloody as it gets. Enjoy. You make the weight successfully in what appears to be a healthy manner. At any point, you say to yourself, I may have a future here. This is not bad. There are opportunities here. Has this opened your eyes and maybe loosened your stance towards fighting at 145 in the future?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I didn't expect it. I mean, it wasn't easy. Like, I'm not going to downplay it. Like, it sucked. I did not enjoy it at all. Like, 0 out of 10 stars for cutting weight. I think Like, just for a second, let's talk about people who actually eat like that for, to live, like, people who just want to look good or something, or, like, who aren't athletes. Like, who actually does that? Like, that's not a, there is a better way to live, my friends, okay? And it's called Halloween candy, and, like, don't do this to yourselves. Like, this is terrible. But, of course, you know, I feel I'm proud that the PFL created a 155 pound division. And I'm proud that I helped build that and helped grow women's MMA and helped continue to create depth in the sport. Because I think that's important. And I think the only way to do it is, you know, like, you have to force it. You have to be like, no, like, of course there are women of all sizes and there are women of all sizes who practice MMA. It's not, you know, we don't fit into this little tiny circle that we've been given. But I also realize that I'm in the business of Kayla Harrison, and the business of Kayla Harrison is probably going to have a lot more opportunity at 145 than at 155. So,
okay, we'll get back to that. But then we get to the fight on Friday, and it's very clear, at least to me early on, that there's levels to this game and that she's not quite on your level. That was very one-sided, and I thought the fight should have been stopped in the first round. She's gushing blood. She's tough as nails. She's hanging on. She's not quitting, but, I mean, it seemed elementary. When you're in a fight like that, and you can use elbows now for the first time in your career, I do believe, what is going on in your mind when all this, I mean, there's blood all over you. It's kind of gross. Like, what do you think?
It was really gross.
Are you enjoying this?
It was, like, really gross, first of all.
Yeah.
Well, it was just kind of, it was all very surreal. I think I was just like kind of dazed to be back in the cage. Like, I was a little bit out of it. And then we had talked about the fact that I could throw elbows, you know, Mike and Anderson and Mako and I, we had discussed it, and like, you know, quality, not quantity. And, you know, Mike had even like, Mike is the greatest coach. All right. He like put elbow pads on me and he like laid down in the guard. He was like, just practice, just get the feel of it, like rolling over the wrist. And he was like, now that's going to cut. I'm telling you right now, that's going to work. And lo and behold, friggin' first elbow in my entire career I've ever thrown. I felt it. Like, I went boom and the blood squirted out right away. And I was like, oh my God, what have I been missing? Like, I've never made anyone bleed in 7 other fights. Like, No one's even had a bruise really from me. So I was like, oh, okay, this is different. But then it like got pretty serious pretty fast where I was like, oh my God, this is different. Like, this is disgusting. Like, why are they not stopping this? Don't they normally stop it when there's this much blood? Like, I was very, in my head, I was like, should I keep punching her? And then I was like, yes, you should keep punching her. It was crazy.
Eventually,
I was flipping. Like, I was, my knees sliding. And I was like, this is gross.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable to watch just because she was bleeding so much and you were just beating her up so badly. And then the fight's over and you stand up and you don't look happy. You actually look disappointed. Why are you disappointed?
Listen, okay, first of all, I'm allowed to be disappointed in myself. I can't stand that you guys all are like,
no.
Whatever, okay? I'm allowed to.
But what could you possibly be disappointed about?
Okay, maybe I wanted to work on my striking more. Maybe I didn't want to take anybody down at all this fight. And I didn't do that. Because you know why? Because instinct kicks in and you just become, the job is to win, not to, which is just so frustrating though, because my striking, I feel like, has gotten so much better. And in the gym, like at sparring, I'm comfortable. I can go 5 rounds and not do a single takedown. I can do striking only. But obviously when you're in a cage and it's 4-ounce gloves and there's a lot on the line, like my instinct just takes over and I'm like, no, it's time to take her down. But so I was just disappointed in that because I really wanted to, like, it's stupid. Every grappler wants to knock somebody out and every striker wants to submit somebody. Like, it's really dumb. Fighters are dumb, but I can't help it. I wanted to work on being comfortable on my feet.
Will you fight? So PFL returns in April of 2021, at least as of right now. You will fight one more time for Invicta before then?
I don't know if it'll be for Invicta, but I'm going to fight one more time.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Who might it be for?
I don't know.
I mean, is there something in the works?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not UFC and it's not Bellator and it's not ONE, as you just said.
Yes. I didn't say that.
Oh, I thought you said that earlier. I won't fight for Bellator or ONE.
That you said that. You said, I heard.
Okay.
I
said, okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. Would it be at 145?
I don't think so.
Okay. 155.
Maybe a catch weight.
150.
Yep.
Okay. Would it be in 2020 possibly?
Yep.
Would it be in Japan for Ryzen? What is this? I mean, that was pretty good. Come on. You got to admit, that was pretty good. Oh my God. They're going to love you.
Japan for Ryzen. That would be great.
New Year's Eve, Kayla Harrison, 2-time gold medalist, gold medalist.
Kyoji's fighting as well. So that would be like fantastic. No,
the Japanese fans will adore you. They love judo. They love the gold medal.
Yeah.
Are you going to fight in a gi? They love that thing. No?
Yeah. That thing, a gi?
Well, that sort of thing. I mean, like the gimmick, not the...
The gimmicks. Yeah. They love the freak shows.
Yeah. Well, and not to suggest you're a freak show. Any opponent lined up yet for December 31st in Ryzen?
I am not. No, I have no idea.
Okay.
Again, you know, the whiz kid Ali is working on it right now as we speak. So,
man, this is like 12 Ali shout outs in this interview, and rightfully so. Well deserved. Can I ask you though? Okay, so that's exciting. But after the fight, perhaps the one, I don't know, negative, you know, I saw it on my Instagram. I saw you addressing it, people accusing you of being on PEDs. And I don't feel like this is something that has been...
Can we talk about this for a second?
Okay. How do you feel? You're successful. You're dominant.
It really hurts my feeling. I mean, it doesn't hurt my feelings, but it just like, it does get under my skin, man. Like everyone's always like, you should take that as a compliment. You should take it as a compliment. People think you're on steroids. And I'm like, are you reading the things that these, like, they're calling me a man. They're calling me Brock Lesnar. They're calling me like, and I'm like, first of all, I literally have been tested by USADA since I was 13 years old. They came to my middle school because I was on the national roster for judo when I was 13. I made my first Olympic trials when I was 14. I've been getting drug tested by USADA since I was 13 years old. And I didn't always look like this, by the way. I remember before I started judo, there was like a picture of me. I was a little kid and I was kind of like a little butterball. Like I wasn't fat, but I was like, you know, a little chubby. And I was like 6 or 7 in the picture. And then I started doing judo and I started I loved judo. I started taking it right from the rip. I wanted to go all the time. Like, I just loved everything about it. And literally there's a picture of me, I don't know, it must've been my 10th birthday or something. And my birthday's in July and I'm in a bikini, like a little like girl bikini. And I've got like traps and I've got like biceps and I'm like this jacked little kid. Like, I developed these muscles over years of training. And I really want to like contact USADA and I want to be like, hey, can I get a record of all of my tests that I've ever taken? Is that possible? Like, do you have a history? Like, you must have it. Mm-hmm. Can I get that? Can I get a copy of that? Because I really want to just post it up, you know? But
I would imagine it's frustrating. I'm also a
sensitive type. Like, I'm a sensitive. That's the one thing about that Rhonda always told me about MMA. She was like, you need to have a thicker skin or you're going to get eaten alive. Because I am a little bit of like a... I am a little bit of a sensitive.
So are you like on social media afterwards reading these comments after getting like upset?
It's a bad thing.
You can't do that. Yeah, you can't do
that.
No,
I know.
Okay, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I do want to ask you this, a true or false question. True or false, 2021 will be your final year with PFL?
No comment.
Because you alluded earlier, you're going to play out the season.
Why are you trying to get me in trouble?
I'm not trying to. I mean, this is sports, right? This is what we talk about.
I have contractual obligations. I will fulfill them.
And you have 1 year left, right?
That's it. 1 year.
Will it be 155?
It will be at 155.
Okay. Yes. And you know, the question always comes up. So I just want, after this experience, are you open to the idea of fighting your teammate, Amanda Nunes?
God, I love Amanda. It's just, you guys are all this, like, it's
what, all the same.
Be this original, maybe make it one interview without asking me about fighting Amanda. No one asked Amanda if she's open to fighting me. No one asked her that, you know?
I think it's a little different because you're the young lion coming up. Here's the thing.
I love Amanda. I respect Amanda. I aspire to be like Amanda. I don't want her to think that I'm like trying to build a name off of her. But because of course, yes, I would love the opportunity to compete with her. If I compete with her, that means I'm competing with the best in the world. You know, of course I would love that. That's what I'm striving for. You know, I want to be where she is. I want to be like that. But she's also my teammate. She's a training partner. She's a friend. I look up to her. So it's like, do I have to like go in the media and say like, yeah, I'm going to fight Amanda someday. Like, no. I don't want to be like that. Like, I respect her too much. I think hopefully someday I get to the point where I'm given that opportunity. And when I am given that opportunity, I will do so with the utmost respect. It's not going to be like a disgusting display of like hate or anything. I will be the epitome of a martial artist, you know, and hopefully we both make a boatload of money from it. So I have to continue to build my legacy in order to get to the point where we get to do that. You know, she's done all the work. Like, she's done everything there is to do in the sport. Now it's my job to do the work so that I get the opportunity.
And in my defense, historically, as you know, teammates always shoot down this concept, and both you and her haven't. And I commend you for that, because it doesn't have to be fueled by bad blood and whatnot. But here you are, this special athlete, a 2-time Olympic gold medalist who's coming up in a division where, let's be honest, there aren't many other people in the division. And you're like this shining star in the division. And she happens to be there, the GOAT of women's MMA in many people's eyes. And it's just like there. I almost feel like I'm not doing
people's eyes. She is the GOAT.
Like, okay, well, I don't, you know, there's no, you know, it's a debate, you know,
it's like but you can't argue facts.
So. Okay. Fair enough. So that's why I feel like I'm not doing my job, especially since you have now fought at 145, and that's sort of, you know, the natural.
Yeah. I've had one fight at 145, you know, she's also had 20 plus fights in her career.
I'm not saying next. I just said, are you open to the idea?
Of course.
Okay, fair enough.
That's what I aspire to it, but I just hate it when they turn the headline into like,
well, that's not on me. That's the, you know, the internet. I mean, what could you do? So you're saying we should make the headline for
the media 100%.
Kayla Harrison, : I want to beat up Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, like that'll that's exactly what it'll probably say. And then I'm like, then I'm gonna have to go talk to Amanda, and it's gonna be like, listen, I didn't say that, and she's gonna be like, I know, fuck them, and I'm gonna be like, you're right, fuck them. Sorry,
we won't talk for a year. It'll be a whole thing. Okay, last thing.
Okay,
it appears as though the 145 division in the UFC is, you know, maybe nearing its end. Are you hoping they keep it around? You know, okay. You have insight into this?
I'm just like, no. Call me Nostradamus.
I love it. Kayla, great to talk to you again. Congratulations on the win. If you do fight December 31st, say in Japan or somewhere nearby, I wish you the best of luck. I just saying if. I said if.
You're letting foreigners in. Like, what are you
talking? I said if. Congratulations.
You're so off on that one.
Okay.
I may not travel at all for my next fight.
Titan FC is based in Florida. Anyway, congratulations to you, and hope we can do this again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so great stuff from Aljamain Sterling, Brandon Moreno, Kayla Harrison, all in kind of different moods, right? Aljamain Sterling, frustrated. Moreno, very excited about his opportunity. Kayla, a little frustrated as well, but, you know, I think relieved that she made 145, and obviously the future is very bright for her. Again, you can watch those entire interviews up on the ESPN MMA YouTube channel. Some great conversations with, you know, some rising stars in the sport. Maybe not the biggest draws right now, but names that we're going to be talking about for a very long time. In particular, Kayla Harrison, in my opinion. And Moreno has an unbelievable opportunity on his hands. And I love his backstory with his family's piñata business and growing up in Tijuana. I mean, just a very likable character. And he's about to fight for the belt in 2.5 weeks, a fight that was added officially to that card, UFC 256 on December 12th, is of course Tony Ferguson versus Charles Oliveira. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that as well. I'm looking forward to that fight very much. So upcoming for the UFC, it's November 28th this weekend, Derek Lewis versus Curtis Blaydes. Of course, it's December 5th, Kevin Holland versus Jack Hermanson, December 12th. Davison Figueroa versus Brandon Moreno. And then December 19th is the last card of 2020, this crazy year, Khamzat Chimaev against Leon Edwards. And then, like I said, this weekend as well, we've got Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., the crazy boxing match, which people don't even understand the rules. I don't know if I understand the rules. California is saying one thing. The promoters are saying another thing. Maybe that makes it all more interesting. I don't know. We're not really sure what Mike is going to do, what Roy is going to do. It's a bit of a freak show-like event. And you also have Jake Paul against Nate Robinson, formerly of the Knicks and Celtics and Bulls and a whole bunch of other team, Nuggets as well. So just a fun, weird event on Saturday. By the way, Israel Adesanya will be a color analyst for that event. So I look forward to seeing how he does in that regard. And I think he'll do very well, to be honest. So that's all this weekend. That's all coming up. But before I go, I did want to quickly toss to a portion of my conversation with AJ McKee, who pulled off that amazing submission last week against Darion Caldwell. He calls it the McKeeatine. He's still undefeated. He's an unbelievable prospect. He's a guy that we should be talking a whole lot more about. He's the son of Antonio McKee, who's an interesting character in his own right, longtime MMA fighter. And he's just 25. And honestly, if he was fighting in the UFC, I think we'd be talking about him a heck of a lot more. And one of the things I asked him about is, does it bother him that people don't talk about him like they do some other UFC prospects? Here's what he had to say. I know Bellator loves you and they treat you well, but is there any part of you that ever thinks like, man, just based on the way fans are and media to a degree, I'd be getting a lot more love if I was fighting in the UFC?
Definitely. Definitely.
Does that annoy you?
Sometimes just because I feel like the organizations don't make the fighters make the organization. You know what I mean? So UFC being the pinnacle of MMA, since it was around in the beginning, and it's always been that stamp of they're the best ones, you know. I don't know. I would love to have a UFC belt, but the things that I want to do endorsement wise, I want to go get an undefeated deal. I want to get a Snickers deal. So there's big companies that I'd like to bring into the fight game to not just bring more money into the game, but I just feel like they're brands that I represent well, that I've kind of accumulated and made my lifestyle part of. So, yeah, I don't know. Those kind of aren't things you can do in the UFC endorsement wise. So when UFC was not, when they were allowing endorsements, I was all about it. I loved it. I was like, man, UFC, let's go. And then they did the Reebok, and I was just like, damn, like these are things that my dad has kind of said are going to happen and then have happened. So I'm like, I don't know, you know, with the ideas and the reach outs and friendships that I want to build in certain businesses, you can't do that. But at the same time, I feel like the level that I'm at, eventually either we're going to have to unify belts or I'm going to have to leave, you know? So, I don't know. I love Bellator. I'm comfortable where I'm at. After this tournament, we're going to sit down, talk, and I guess that's when the real games of life begin.
How many fights left?
Two.
Okay. So the finals and then one after.
And then one after.
Okay. And by the way, why Snickers?
I grew up on Snickers since a kid, man. After weigh-ins, I'm going to get a Snickers. Like, that's my first thing. Snickers and a Sprite, you know, like that was just the go-to after practice, everything, you know, even in my weight cuts. I have probably throughout my weight cut, just let's say last 4 weeks of camp, probably eat about 10 to 12 Snickers all together. Like, I don't know what it is about them. I love them.
While you're cutting weight?
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's my cheat meal. That's my cheat snack.
Okay.
It's probably not the best cheat snack, but it is what it is. I don't like the chocolate. I'll eat all the chocolate off of the Snickers and just eat the nougat, the caramel, and the nuts. So.
What? Like a rabbit? Like you like chew off all the.
Exactly.
What?
It's one of the weirdest things. I don't do it in public because I feel like people are going to look at me crazy. Like, what are you doing to that Snickers? Like, you know? But
big Snickers or baby Snickers? Or you don't discriminate?
Big Snickers. My dad's a little Snickers person, but
interesting.
The big ones just have more nougat and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Just more greatness.
Okay, so really fun stuff there from AJ McKee. Again, if you want to listen to that entire interview, go to the ESPN MMA YouTube channel. We got a lot going on over there. And so before I go, since it is Thanksgiving, one of my favorite holidays, if not my favorite holiday, you know, I never grew up celebrating Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving isn't really a big deal in Canada. It's on a Monday. It's in early October, as DC and the rest of you learned earlier this year. I didn't even get off from school on Thanksgiving. I went to a Jewish private school. We didn't even get off from school. Never had turkey. We didn't do any of that. The only reason I knew of Thanksgiving and quasi-celebrated it was because I was a big NFL fan and I would watch the football games. Like, we'd go home during lunch and watch the football games and then come back. So that was exciting. I remember one year Leon Lett and I think the Cowboys played the Dolphins and he screwed up. He hit the ball. Anyway, those are my memories of Thanksgiving. But since I've moved to the United States and now I've been here for half my life, I moved here in 2001. So what, 19 years ago, I'm 38. So half my life I've been in the States, which is kind of crazy. Now I really appreciate it, and I appreciate everything it symbolizes, that there's no real religious ties to it, and it's all about giving thanks and being thankful and being with friends and family. Unfortunately, this year it's a little different, and that's a huge bummer, but I just wanted to say that I'm very thankful for all the fans out there. You guys have been incredible to me throughout my career. You guys have always had my back, always been so supportive. This year, you know, as much as any year, considering all the changes and how we give you the content and where we're doing it from, you have never complained. You have never said that, you know, things are different. All, like, you're just very grateful. And I am so thankful to be a part of this community. And I'm thankful for the fighters who always give us the time of day. And I'm thankful to have great colleagues at ESPN like TST, who produces this podcast each and every week with such passion and interest in the sport and the rest of the team at ESPN MMA. I'm obviously thankful for my job at ESPN, and I'm thankful for my co-host, Daniel Cormier. And it's been an amazing thing to have this show, you know, be born in the midst of a pandemic. And I look forward to Mondays very much. Chael Sonnen, of course, on Thursdays, Ariel and the Bad Guy. No Ariel and Bad Guy this week, by the way, because of Thanksgiving. But, you know, I just find myself sad that I can't be with my parents and the rest of my family, but very, very thankful and grateful. And I can't wait. And I think we're all going to feel this way once this ends, hopefully soon. I just can't wait to go back to doing the things that we took for granted. Trips, being around friends and family, just doing, you know, the stuff that makes living so worthwhile. So I'm thankful for all of you. I hope you're hanging in there. I hope this podcast has been able to give you a bit of an escape, a bit of a time to think about other things throughout all this craziness over the past year. And I hope you're holding on and hanging in there and staying positive. And I'm also thankful for all the people who continue to rate, download, subscribe, and review to this podcast. It's very, very important. It helps us out more than you know. And thank you very much to Sammy Drew, who posted this review. Quote, "This podcast is the number one podcast on the app. We're talking next level. I listen to the old shows, and this show is money, big money. I want to see Ariel and DC as the next tag team champions in World Wrestling Entertainment. Hashtag Ariel Helwani Boxing. Hashtag Y'all Must Have Forgot." Well, thank you for that, Sammy Drew. That was very nice of you. And yes, perhaps in 2021, we shall see DC and I in a squared circle taking over World Wrestling Entertainment. For now, though, we are out of time. Enjoy the fights this weekend, my friends. Thank you very much to Brandon Moreno, AJ McKee, Aljamain Sterling, and of course, Kayla Harrison. Thanks to all of you. As always, I love you all. Thanks to TST. And I hope once again that you all have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Back next week, same time and place. Until I say peace, I'm out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.